Okay, we'll call the June 6th Board of Selectmen meeting to order at 7 p.m. First on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, first on the agenda is approval of minutes.
We have approved the minutes of the selectmen meeting of May 16, 2017.
I'll second it. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
We will be approving the minutes of the special meeting of selectmen of the 2017.
Second the motion. All in favor? Aye. Let it be known that Selectman Shana Smith is out of state. Working. Moving on to correspondence. I gave you the building office numbers for the month of May. I also received West Thompson Fire Department false alarm and billing schedule for the Gladys Green and Pineview Court that they will be charging effective June 1st. $115 per false alarm for medicals and $75 for fire alarms is $115 and $75 per incident for false medical alarms. So they have sent that over to the Housing Authority and CCD Board of Selectmen. Just an FYI, I got from COS, which is a new procedure for driver's licenses that are going into effect, that when any of the people go down very shortly as this is going into effect, you will be receiving a paper driver's license, and they will be mailing you the full one in the mail because of the new security type things that they're doing to it. So it's going to be a big change in that. So that came from Council of Small Towns. As it was mentioned at the Board of Finance meeting, I got from CCM an act concerning municipal finance, and that is the change because of the current budget situation that we, if it gets through the Senate, I don't know if it has as of yet, the session ends tomorrow, that it will allow the towns to make adjustments to their budget after a municipal budget is, state budget is passed. So that is still pending. That came from NECOG. From the Quinebaug Park, on the 14th, we're having a short 10 to 15 minute flag dedication ceremony at the park entrance to order this U.S. symbol. It will be at 11 a.m. I would like to invite you or someone representing the town to the ceremony, if that would be of interest. No pressure. Thank you, Marlene Ogden. So they're having a flag day on the 14th of June at the Quinebaug Park. They did have the ribbon cutting on June 3rd, Saturday, for the new bridge on the Airline Trail. They had a press release. We did receive correspondence on that. Plus, that has gone by. Okay. Art at the Library, Spring Awakening by Simone Germain. Reception is Thursday, June 8th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. On view, June 2nd through the 29th. Another artist that is going to be there. All of the, I encourage anybody to go. The art is very good, that are always being displayed. Business after hours with the Northeast Connecticut Chamber of Commerce, June 20th, 2017, 5 to 7 p.m. at Creamery Brook Village, which is 36 Dina Lane in Brooklyn. 7 for members, 10 for non-members. They do this on a, I don't know, bi-monthly, every couple of months. So they're holding an event there. Okay. From the Department of Transportation, subject is a community connectivity program grant application. This is partly with what was done on a study for the airline bicycle and foot traffic through town. We're currently looking to see what avenues that we can possibly tap into this to make the roadways in the in a better for the town. So you think that? We also got tentative vendor in place paving program. Basically what this is from the Department of Transportation. This is their paving schedule. They are looking at in the fiscal year of 18 to do Route 200 to the Mass Line, which is Riverside Drive, 3.7 miles. And they are also looking at in fiscal year 19, Porta Plain Road to the Mass Line, which is Route 193, to resurface it. And looking at Route 200 from Riverside Drive up to the Common up here, if they get the funding. Those are the major intersections that they plan to work on in the next two budget years. Letter went out for hopefully some participation to the other 166 towns that are a part of CCM, having to do with our MERS case that Thompson is involved with, that is being challenged in court against the union. So we're looking for other towns to help out. We believe that there's at least 21 that are affected by us as well. So we're looking for their support in order to move this forward. I went out from CCM. And I did get from P&Z, I did go in front of P&Z for the on the 22nd. It had to do with the museum that's right up here at the Common. Had to go through, anytime we decide to do anything with property, disposition of it, buildings, etc., it has to go through planning. We went in front of planning, historical was there, and they gave us a favorable recommendation to the Board of Selectmen and the town's legislation body regarding the proposed transfer of the town to 339 Thompson Road, which is to the Thompson Historical, at which point this will need to go in front of a regular town meeting, and we will have to work out a contract with them for in the event they ever disband or whatever, and all to have right of first refusal on the building for the answer. Yes, they did, but we just got to get the language in place. And that is what I have in correspondence.
She came with a question on one of the items that you talked about, and we've got a couple of tweets here. What do you guys do in terms of the bulk of our guard people? And because it seems to me, and I don't know their whole policy, I'm not sure if you agree or not, charging one government agency to another, and charging the fees from quasi-government agency, but probably a coordinated agency, charging another agency of the government, a little bit like taking out of one pocket and then the other. On the other hand, I also recognize the need to get some attention if false alarms are incurring the Thompson's problem and they're not being addressed. So we appreciate it, both sides of the equation here. So I just wondered, how do you reflect this? Is it an issue of spring with you, or what would be your thoughts?
Well, we don't have enough businesses or anything like that, and we just get false fire alarms. So false medical alarms, they happen. We feel better checking on people.
Sure, I'm not sure, but it's both medical and
it's going to be a problem for a lot of times.
Part of the business, I think.
We carry it in the community, so we're there as well as responding to that as well. And I don't think it's that high of a number that would be determined most of the time in the open, if it is called fire, it's not so far. If it is a fault or something, usually there's a underlying current point where it is, you go to the elevator, and you make the state.
Something's working.
Right, I mean, you know, there could be issues, you know, and a lot of them are getting the grill out of the ditch. I think that would worry out of us, be filling them for something, but, I mean, not even be realizing what they're doing.
Well, it does specify, properly, if it's initiated by a tenant, it's not gonna be considered a fillable event.
My thoughts has always been that we've always provided the service, the town pays for part of the funding and everything, and that comes with the territory.
Yes.
We always have. You know, I mean, it was even with the fire departments when we started to discuss going to collecting for ambulance calls, it became out of necessity, because for decades we had always,
sure.
You know, there was no charge to any resident or whatever for the service, and, you know, it
yeah, it's not a voluntary service anymore.
Yeah, no, but I was just saying, but even at that, I mean, it was very hard to, I remember when community and, of course, a lot of us helped man the ambulance over the years, that it was very troubling to have to decide to be able to make ends meet through that.
No, no, I appreciate that.
I don't know. I have not heard from Ms. Flanagan as of yet. I know they have a meeting on Thursday with their commission.
If it's necessary to get somebody's attention about the authority, maybe that's what the deal is.
But, that could be.
But on the other hand, it does seem like we're taking out of one pocket, but in the other pocket, and probably a lot of big work, and something like that.
I would be honest to do something like that. I know in the past, it has been, since they started to redevelop on the process, we've got a false fire alarm.
Yep.
Due to contractors and they're making the bid and adjustments.
Sure.
And then they even started in the contract for that build, and I don't know. I mean, to me, it doesn't, I mean, just monitoring, you know, all of our, I don't know, it's huge, but you know, that's personally.
Sure.
We'll continue to look at
the action, but I'm a little concerned if we're sort of stepping beyond the
No, I agree. I haven't heard from Ms. Flanagan or the fire departments to have a chat with us as to what is driving it. All right. That's it on first on selectmen's comments. Let's see. Just to bring up to date, Leo will be doing some chip sealing by the end of the month. The intent is to do the library parking lot, because nothing's been done with that since 1994. When that was put in, he's going to be replacing some catch basin covers, tops there, and we're going to chip seal that. And Pompeo Passe and LaPierre Roads between now and July 1st. So they'll be scheduling to come in, which is part of the normal process. Let's see. I have a meeting set up with DOT on the 14th. Something I had initiated and fell through the cracks when one of the guys from DOT retired that was the head of their engineering. Finally got that back on track to review some troubled areas and intersections. The intersections that are troubling both ends of Buckley Hill Road. We've had multiple accidents and so forth there. Blaine Road, where Belden's is, the way that intersection is configured, people just don't know where to go and they go in and out of that. Walker Road and Route 197, which goes up to Charlton, which is a, we've had a fatality there in the past year, couple years. It's a very bad area, and a crosswalk for where Dunkin' Donuts over to by Thatcher Road to those are areas of concern. that have been commented, and then DOT will be out to take a look at to see what they can and cannot do to improve the areas. So we're working on that. They'll be out on the 14th, takes care of that. P&Z, I already talked about because that was there. I did have the opportunity to meet with the Melinda Smith, the new superintendent. We had a nice chat for a couple of hours. Very, very impressive with her thinking of where she wants to go. Coming from a school of 3,500 people, you know, with that, she has some ideas and believes in a very strong communication between the school and the town government aspect, because they need to work in conjunction with each other. So we had a very good discussion, bounced some things on. Obviously, she's trying to get acquainted, because she will be jumping into the fire, so to speak, July 1st when she takes over. So she's trying to meet with as many people as she can to get herself prepared. So I thought the meeting went very well. And if you do have an opportunity to talk with her, I think you'll come away impressed with her.
I attended the presentation of the group of prospects, what they're going on now. And they both did a great job, but she's pretty good at her credentials and her credentials. And then heard the director, she's had quite a number of folks in town to meet with them and introduce herself. And that's a great idea. It's coming from a
bigger school, so
much bigger school, so that they had nine separate schools, something like that. So I think we're all looking forward to it. Her success.
Yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't meet that. I had a CPR class that day. I would have loved to have attended. I think the board chose very well based on my conversation with her that she will be continuing on with what has been started by Dr. Jolin and continuing on, and she'll do a very good job. So looking forward to working with her in the near future with the board. Okay, I did have a meeting yesterday with Charlie Wheaton. The T builder. He was one of the gentlemen that helped design and build the T building about half a dozen years ago. And back then when they were doing that, he had set the building up with his input to make it have a good southern exposure for the possibility of having solar on the building. And he did approach Teague, and I was up there as well because we are the landlords of the building. He was offering to Teague to install solar for the next 15 years on the building, give them the reduced rate of which will be agreed upon for solar, and at the end of the 15 years turn the whole everything over to the town, and the town will own it at the end of the 15 years. I guess that's figuring what it's going to cost to put it up.
Sure.
The question, fatigue to enter into the electrical usage is very easy on their part because they pay the bills up there, etc. The question came down to the town. Will the town allow it to go up on the roof because we are the landlord? And this was the beginning phases of it, and I do have to, we have to look further into, you know, whether it has to, whether the Board of Selectmen could just approve that, whether it needs to go to P&Z, because we've never had a request of this nature in the past. So just to bring the board up, as I get more information, this is what the proposal is. They need our approval to put it on the building. They take care of everything for the next 15. The roof, just to let you know, the roof was a estimated 40-year roof. So with the 15 years on the solar, it's going to go a couple of cycles before the roof needs to be replaced. So, you know, we don't have to worry about that cost. So then after that, obviously we won't be around and we'll be time for new roof at that point. But that is something that Teague was looking, thought was a great, because at this point it would save them basically half of their electrical bill. So as I get more information on that, for that, because that'd be strictly for the building there, and I will bring that back to the board appropriately in time. And those two can wait. As everybody, well, a portion of us were here last night, not here, but at the Board of Finance meeting. I think that's all. Is that even not ready? Excuse me? Yeah, we're all here. As everybody knows, Board of Finance went back through the budget. We are going out for referendum, in a town meeting and referendum. As Steve was today, the notice of annual town meeting is June 12th, which is next Monday at 7 p.m. at the library community room. The notice of referendum is June 20th, which is the following Tuesday from 12 to 8. It happens to be our selectmen's meeting night that night, so we will move it upstairs into the conference room up there to hold our meeting, which at that point will be downstairs for the vote, and whatever action the finance may be taken at that time, because they do have a meeting scheduled back to that, which is part of the normal procedure. So we'll be at the right place to do all of follow up on that. So anyway, the 20th will be the referendum. The Board of Finance did make some hard decisions on the budget. As we all know, they reduced the school down to $75,000 more than last year. And they did take one school bus out for $29,000 out of capital. And they did take some minor adjustments for, I think, another $20,000 out of some fringe benefits and
pension
estimation and out of street lighting. $10,000 there. So they made some adjustments and took some money out of surplus to put into it at $275,000. I think that was the highlight for them, pretty much. And we will be going into the referendum with a overall new budget expenditure of $352,324 total combined over last year. A mill is $600,000, so $352,000 is probably what, 0.6 of a mill, somewhere in that vicinity, which is of the increase. We're up 7.34% overall in the budget. I believe that number was 7.37. And as we all know, we got 7.37 in it. And as we all know, the driving factor is the uncertainty of the state budget. They come out of session tomorrow. They are not going to have a state budget. And you don't know where this is going to go with the state budget and revenues. As far as being fiscally responsible and so forth with the overall budget, we're at bare bones at this point. The unknown is the revenue and where the voters will make that decision where we go from there. And basically 1.32 in that area is unknown revenue from the state of proposed mill rate. So it's a difficult decision that everybody has to deal with on this. So we'll be going with that. Good note, high school graduation is on the 19th at 6 p.m. at the school. So anybody that wishes, I usually do it outside in the field, so the high school will be graduating, which is great. They will be moving on. Steve and I also attended on May 31st the school Memorial Day celebration that they had up at the school. They brought all the kids out into the field, and actually did a human flag at the very end of with everything. It was photographed by drone, and it is currently up on the website of the school. I encourage anybody, everybody, to take a look at it. It was very quite impressive. The ceremony and the reading of all the names of our veterans and so forth was very well done and very heartfelt. And of course, they also had dedication mention of Norm Babbitt, who passed this year. His wife did speak for a few moments, and it was very, very nice. It was done very well, very moving. So it's nice seeing the school do that. I hope they continue doing that in future years to come, because they're the ones that are going to have to carry on. They're the next generation that's going to have to carry this on as well as what we do. So it was very nice, and I thank the school for doing that. It was very well done. I don't know if you got anything else to.
No, well, that's a good question. Thank you.
Citizens' comments. Mr. Benoit, if you would please.
Steve Benoit, Full Drive, Commonwealth. The issue with the name for the fall alarm. That's only at the bottom of the ball?
Yes.
What happened to this guy who lives down the street at one of those lifeguards?
People, as we all know, the people can just roll over on it and accidentally send it off. But I'd rather have it working than not working. Anybody else? Mr. Mann.
Rob Mann, 15 Minute Drive. Yeah, kind of concerning the false alarm thing. I mean, if somebody's going to, one fire department's going to do something like that, you think it would be kind of widespread in every department as their individual, you know, they're all individually owned and operated. But on the other hand, you know, here we are as a town, basically as a town housing division, and we're going to charge them more from, you know, charge the town more, basically. And the town gives its department money every year. And I'm not, I have no issue with whatsoever. Actually, you know, just the opposite. So it's certainly something maybe every fire department, or even a fire department committee, should be bringing up. Because if, you know, one department does it all, should be doing it, I feel, or if not at all. And then the other thing is the old online library. I'm very much in support of that going to the store society and taking the burden off the taxpayers in Thompson. They'll be able to get their own grants to the state or whatever avenues they take to maintain and make things the way they want. I think that's a great way to go forward. Obviously, we all have our strict budgets in our homes, and that's definitely a way to take some, you know, pressure off of that, more town votes and failures. And, you know, stress to the historical society also. I know that they truly do have the best interests at heart. That's pretty much all I want to say. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to recreation request to approve additional summer staff. We did receive on June 6th to the Board of Selectmen. Thompson Adventure Camp has finished its final hiring process, concluding with the recommended individuals approved by the Rec Commission to fill our two lifeguard positions and the summer office clerk position. The recommended individuals are Megan Strange, Sarah Light, and Pamela Santerre. If you have any questions, you can reach out to Angela. This is all part of the normal summer staff that they fill on a seasonal basis. So I would entertain a motion to approve the three individuals. I will second that motion. No discussion. All in favor? Aye. Okay. Moving on, as Everybody, whoever did attend last Thursday for the 929 mil update, it was well attended. We had a good crowd. We had some very passionate people that spoke. We are trying to continue to move that forward. There has been, some articles that have gone into the paper that the Thompson officials are working to change the historic mill's fate. We need to keep this momentum going and make the mill a, once again, thriving alternative for the town and, help the current owner see that it is worthwhile to move this forward and find the right developer to go. So we are, based on everybody that was there, they're very supportive and very encouraged to keep this going. We will continue to keep everybody apprised, hopefully between now and the August hearing with the state historical. We do have the, as the board has talked about before, we are in favor of revitalization and not the deconstruction of the building for the sake of deconstructing it. One of the things that they did ask for and that we need to continue to do is have the townspeople show the support that helps with funding and everything else in order to make this project move along, as well as what we're doing with NECOG and the economic development. So the petition is out there, the sign to show the support to keep the mill as it is. It is up online as a link to do that. That was one of the things that was discussed at that meeting. So you can either do it by paper or right from the town's website and go there, because we are in support of revitalizing that as an alternative to deconstruction. Yes, Ron?
Is it normal for the town to have petitions in one direction with an issue for our town like that?
I asked town attorney about that. I did not get an answer. It is very clear that the board is in support of this as a historical and a future, as a current asset to the town, so that it's not, we are looking for the support, and we're doing everything that we can in order to encourage this. And, we are more than willing to work with the developers and the owner to make this all happen to the benefit of everybody.
Yeah, I was just concerned that the developer might be a negative position on a public website.
Yeah, I think there is a good point. It is the perception of the public site funded by the public taking a stand on one aspect of this issue with the public town. Not everybody in town may feel that way. I believe there's a few people who have sold the property, and I agree with you. I'm in favor, 100% in favor, but I don't know if it is appropriate to, one side of the issue on a public forum, which is our town website.
And if I do hear differently from the town attorney, we will immediately come
down. Yeah, I'm in favor of our position, both as a board and individually, but I am a little concerned about whether we're going a little too far and supporting one position versus leaving it up to the people themselves to decide.
Thank you.
That's a good point.
Do you have anything you want to add to that, please?
No, maybe the one thing, I think in terms of the step in front of us, there's a meeting at the Chippo, is that the
In August.
Yes, in August. The other was actually scheduled for July, but it was got delayed for August with the approval of the company that might be doing the demo.
It was actually scheduled for tomorrow.
Originally?
June 7th.
Okay. So now it's postponed to August, but we are certainly not out of the woods by any stretch, and it is important for the company to let their voices be heard if they feel anything about this issue at all.
Steve?
The same owner, the owner of the building project?
Yes.
What's the status of that?
That is status quo at this time. The last meet, two or three months ago at the mill redevelopment meeting, Sean Donahue, that's representing the owner, had stated that since the Brownsfield information has come out that's $450,000 at worst case scenario to clean it up, Now that that has been done, they are getting ready to market that, and they are currently waiting for our economic development thing with NECOG to help them with a plan as to what we feel is the, to help them as they want to market it, what should be the direction to go, what comes out of NECOG. So they want to use that information as well. That's supposed to be coming out. The study, I think the rough, the first draft or whatever you want to call it, at the end of the month, if everything goes right.
I have a high hopes. I've been to the Brandon Committee meeting, and I have a high hopes for what they might produce, but I'm not sure I've seen anything that are concrete. And you know, I would like to. I'm no expert in this area whatsoever. I'm attending the meetings and learning and trying to learn what I can. But I'm not getting the, you know, we're going to have a robust program.
I don't know.
I'm hoping for the best. I really am, but I'm a little concerned. I know this was a cheap choice for us, but there's nothing. But I'm very concerned that we're not going to get much of a solid, once it go forward with this, if I would help for it. And, not that I have a specific idea in mind about what the answer should be there with the purpose of this committee. But it's a little too vague and visioning for me. I'd like to see what's been so much better.
I'm not sure how John works when he puts this stuff together. It may be vague, like you say, or it may be more in depth than
I'm hoping right now.
I'll try and as soon as I can get something out of him, I will.
Well, I think our next meeting is end of the month. I forget the exact 29th or something like that.
29th.
Again, I really am hoping that, that something really
positive comes out of this. Yes.
But I don't know. I just haven't seen. I don't know what I would honestly expect it if it's new for a new territory for me. I don't see economic development. But
I'm
hoping for more.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the other thing that we do have at our disposal is the funding that is in the economic development, as John knows, because he's on our committee. And we had kicked around a consultant, if you remember. I'll try and get something out of John with a direction or some kind of feeling.
I hope as to where he is. My concerns are boundless.
Not that I'm looking.
What I'm hearing now is I can get myself a little better website.
Beyond that. Really not that.
John, maybe you feel too, but well, I hope you feel different than I do.
Yeah, I mean, as a member of the Economic Development Commission, being on the commission for a while, working with the brand, and maybe. The study is designed to get an idea of how we can better market housing for growth, economic growth, residential growth, whatever the case may be. I think the main, what I'm getting out of it through these branding committee meetings, they're trying to focus on two aspects, one from the Bellwood site to 929 Riverside, which are a major core of where we need to see improvement, I guess, is the best way. The potential through that area seems to be greatest, whether it's business aspects or residential entertainment, whatever the case may be. I have a feeling that this study will show, you know, between those two highlights, and again, some of the biggest things that most of the committee is suggesting is the Bellwood for the Seller site tends to be a fairly decent focal point for a lot of intersecting higher with 200 through 12 and so forth as you're coming into the town from the highway. And then 929 is the Riverdale site is another focal point as you're coming in. But there are the other aspect is to continue up to 131 corridor try to get an idea of what was sort of best and try to market that as well. So that's the impression that I would get out of the whole subcommittee off of UGC, and I'm hoping that that is what the kind of how we present to us as a town, then we still come to the council and I could trust it. But unfortunately, it's still a little bit in progress.
All right, moving on. BFIS fire study proposal, discussion and possible action. As we have talked about in the past, we have talked about doing the fire study. With that, there has been some past discussion on the one of the consultants we had looked at, and the overall performance, some of the pros and cons of what has been out there in articles and so forth. With that, I did reach out to a couple of them that I did was managed to talk with, did recommend them. I was unable to reach a few of the others from what I could find online. In the meantime, we do deal with the volunteer fire insurance, VFIS. And with that, something hit me, and I started looking at VFIS for some of the services they provide, because one of them was, if I remember correctly, they had come out and had done some auditing of the fire departments in the past. And it was when we consolidated the insurance back at that time. So I dug into it and talked to HGC, our insurance consultant, Dan Anderson. And he put me in contact with Bill Genoway, PhD, et cetera, Vice President of VFIS Education, Training, and Consulting. And, he's based out of York, Pennsylvania. VFIS is a nationwide insurance carrier that specializes in the fire departments and all aspects of it. And I did get a hold of him in the past couple of weeks and did bounce some stuff off him that we had been discussing and what we were trying to do. And he, I believe I sent you an email on that, Steve, yep. If I was correct, before. And I did send you the proposal in the package that he had sent out. And I did send him everything of the, well, we had set the advisory committee up to with the charge back then, and what the expectations of the town was in order to determine the needs and where the fire departments were going to evolve to. So that way the town could, and stuff that we've been discussing for quite a while, to aid everybody in general to know where it was going. So they came back with a proposal. I read it. It covers everything that we have been discussing, and they did leave quite a list of references in there. I don't know if you know
that. I only skimmed it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there was.
I went to the cost law.
They did projects which include all over the country, yep. Pennsylvania, Jersey, quite a list of Maryland, Carolinas, mostly towards this end of the country. Could be what Genoway has been with, but there was two pages of solid things that they have done. Actually, three. And even down to Tennessee and Texas. And even dealing with ambulance services as well. So you saw the scope of the work.
Just to get it, like, skim this.
Yep.
Skim the whole package. Just a package.
But, yep. With that, and of course, they even sent out a questionnaire for the departments to fill out to help aid them in getting this together. So it comes as, and it's not a knock on anybody else that we've talked with, but it was a very, very complete package. And based on everything that we are looking at with cost and budget and trying to accomplish, this seems to be in our best interest based on the proposal that I have read.
And again, I went to the,
I went to the cost,
I took a look at overall proposal just in terms of its depth and breadth. It seemed pretty nice, especially compared to our other one. not that I look at that one, but it seems much more expensive. And the cost was about
$5,500.
A third less, you know. So that was attractive. It doesn't necessarily mean that cheaper better, but it looks like it might be better and cheaper. So.
And what I did get from that, I asked why the cost was.
Okay.
And I got the answer, because we are part of DFIN. It is part of, there is a charge for it, but because we are part of the insurance, paying the premium and so forth, part of the services are included in the figuring of the fees to conduct this.
I'm glad we went out and brought out other vendors here to save us some bucks. And,
yes.
And again, assuming that they do a good job, if there's something I need, or if there's a budget, this was a thing. And it looked like they know what they're doing.
I would agree with you. For some reason, I just can't seem to find my other page, but it was a third of the cost.
Yeah, you need the cost part?
I know it by heart, but I just don't have it here. It may not have printed as I had hoped. It got sidetracked when I made the... Yeah, it was a flat of five and a travel of 15. And those were the basic numbers.
$5,000
up to travel. Yeah. And the guy's coming up from Fairfield. He's based out of Fairfield, Connecticut.
Oh, okay. I thought he was in New York.
He's the one that runs the program out of York, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But his Connecticut guy is out of Fairfield, Connecticut. We've had some good experiences with the FIS. They've taken care of us. Go ahead, Steve.
Since the audit, I've received probably $300 worth of software, you know, DVDs, CDs. He's given me accident packets, there's people who don't block with the trucks, there's something happening. We have all the information there. He's been really helpful. He's doing some things really well, he's lacking other things, and he basically, basically said what we should be doing. And he said, at any time, he had anything with it, he was just following, and I was really impressed with the insurance.
You're referring to?
DFIS.
Oh, the corporation.
And this was done, what, 5 years ago, I think?
No, this was only done.
No, I'm talking when we did the initial assessment. It was when we had consolidated the insurance in probably 2012, somewhere around there.
This was within the last...
No, I understand it, but we've been dealing with them on a...
Going with DFIS, yes.
But when they first came out and did some of the assessment.
The first time actually spoke and sat down and spoke with us.
Go ahead, John.
Going through the college recently, I as well as the phenomenal factors. There's tons of training videos and updates and training accidents, brochures and pamphlets and booklets that we put in our vehicles so that should we, obviously, we don't want to ever have an accident, we're in a better position to be able to report it and get very good people to deal with it. We've got a lot of pointers, a lot of updates.
Good recommendation,
very helpful.
Positive things have come out since we've been dealing with the FIS. And the conversation that I had, there will be some work on the fire departments because they are looking for a copy of the bylaws, the guidelines, the annual fire reports for the last couple of years. There's a lot of things that they can do away from meeting with the departments and get a good handle on what's going on and size everything up. And they expect to have this done in 30 days.
Right. DFIS is the insurance carrier.
They are the actual insurance company.
Insurance company, and the people doing the study are how are is it the same? Is it the insurance company or is it a?
They are part of the insurance.
They are part of the insurance.
Yes. Yeah, he is vice president of the VFIS Education Training and Consulting.
Okay, I want to make sure they're the same entity as opposed to a recommendation by the insurance company.
Yeah. And that's where they are.
Well, do you want a motion or something?
Or if you would, so.
Well, I'd like to make a motion if you proceed with this, subject to checking a sample of the records that you just appreciate the ones we had here, but you dealt with the insurance part of it as opposed to the consultant side. So if you wouldn't mind a couple of three references there, maybe references are past contracts, and if they're satisfactory, then I would suggest that we go ahead with this proposal. So, subject to the
that there is
satisfactory
no
references, I move that we proceed with this.
That we
sort of have $5,000 up to $50,000 worth of travel expenses.
And I'll second that motion. Discussion? All in favor? Aye. John.
Just to reiterate that the study, in attending Board of Finance meetings, attending Selectment meetings, and so forth, I know that the Board of Finance appropriated the funds to do this study, and I can't stress enough that obviously the town does something with the study, with that, and different that something happened about the study, so that we're not wasting the benefit.
I agree with you, John, 100%, and it works both ways.
Absolutely.
That whatever recommendations come out of the study that the fire departments, do, because obviously they're going to be in their best interest. And as a Board of Selectmen, as a town, and even when I had proposed this back in 2010, there's no preconceived notion of what to do with the fire departments, whether to... If you go back to the charge, it was to find out where it was going to evolve to in the future so the town can prepare for whatever or to meet those challenges as well as a funding stream. So that way, we keep our residents safe and secure and knowing that they have the proper services when they're in need. And that is it. And wherever the study goes, they are recommendations, and we'll review them and take them at heart for what they are at that time. And hopefully, again, I stress very clear to them that we are not looking, as it may have been suggestion, to consolidate from 5 to 3. It may be that we are getting the best bang for the buck. They need more support, and that it can survive for many decades to come. And that's what we want. So.
This hasn't been any other motion in my time other than growth and modernization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there's been other comments by other people.
I heard.
Yeah. Okay. But that's not the intent of the board.
No.
Never has been. Okay. Moving on. We did not receive any bids.
I would like to make a comment too about that.
Go ahead.
And I think some of the preparation is 30 and the 14 or 15 or something. So maybe, well, I think that needs to be corrected. But I understand we've had some number of inquiries about doing this from other companies. And they were then denied access to review the sprinkler system at the library by the librarian. If they can't view the scope of the work that they might do, no wonder they don't want the same thing to get across. That's not very. And again, we've got this second, third, fourth hand, and I may not be 100% right here, but if that's the case, I am very concerned about what we've done here. We went out for the fall though, and my understanding is a number of contacts at the Selectman's office. When they contacted the library to examine what needed to be done, they were denied access. Some big things about workers' comp, no offense, if these guys are working for their company, they're covered by workers' comp, we have insurance that covers them, so when they go and look at what the scope of the work is, we're very little frustrated that we had a proposal in front of us at a special meeting adopt this with a desire by the library director for one particular vendor. Other vendors who seem interested are elastic in front of them. It's very frustrating. I don't know whether you feel the same way or not.
I'm unaware that anybody was turned down. I did make arrangements with one vendor to go on tour a week ago Thursday, and they went and they did their, with the Dan from the Highway Garage, which was the former, the guy that did it in the evening. And I had no problem in getting it done.
I'm not saying you did.
I'm saying I had not heard anything at all. If that is the case,
first thing, and I didn't hear this directly from the director of library, but I'm saying that she denied access to some potential hitters.
And
the fears are allowed, but the fears, and that doesn't help us get a number of bids and provide the town with the services at the lowest possible price to the collective services. That's very frustrating, and I detected. And again, here's where I'm really going to go in, that she had a favorite bidder, which she proposed us to fire in the ballot and fill up a bid. And when other people come to examine the site, there's obstacles set up. That's not the right way. We should offer our, we know we're not right money. Mine does it that way.
If it's true,
what
I
said is that, and again, I want to stress that it's second and third thing, but I'm a little concerned that we're not doing ourselves any good.
Like I said, I am unaware of that, and I will look into that. And I don't know, and I did make arrangements with one person to show up, on a Thursday to tour that and to look at everything that was there. So I know that did happen.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying Ken did you as any, you were
that is not the, we went out for bid in the best interest of the town, and I would have hoped that I was very disheartened at 1 o'clock that we had no bid at all from anybody. And if that is the case, but I will inquire.
But this is $25,000 proposal that we had in front of us without a beginning process.
Well,
it may be the best result anyway. We got
no bid.
Not even from the ones who.
I don't know what happened. I can't explain it. I expected some bids.
Yeah.
I did. And I know one that I had personally set up, with Leo to make sure that somebody was there. So I don't know what happened. So I will find out.
Well, hopefully the librarian understands that there really shouldn't be any obstacle for allowing somebody to do the potential project. I can't imagine that there really is. I don't sign a release form by walking to the library. They shouldn't have to sign. By the way, the library needs special permission to go there.
The town is insured for that.
And again, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just very concerned. And that, does that mean we need to go for another bid?
I don't know what to do with it at this point. I have never seen this in the past. As long as I've been on the board. I mean, the only time that we had an issue was several years ago when we were trying to do the curbing at the library.
Yep.
And we only got one bid. And that was it.
I assume maybe she didn't, because the person kept track of how many people contacted her about this.
I will ask her if she calls or if she made a list. I know that we had a couple of RFPs out there, and they've been very, very active.
Okay.
With people, asking about the IT, the web page, and the sprinkler system.
Okay.
So, and like I said, Marie set it up with me to make arrangements, and I took care of that. So, but all the calls were directed to the town hall.
Right, in the initial contact wasn't there.
Yes.
But therefore, she might at least know that we had 10 people, maybe 2 people, whatever it is.
Right.
And at least called about it and
right.
And to know that there was some interest and yeah. as opposed to mm-hmm. nobody even bothered. But I think what I've heard is that a number of people were initially interested to contact the town, but well, we didn't make it easy for them.
I, like I said, I'll look into it and see if there's any truth to what. No, it's not far from that to happen by any means. Okay, moving on. I did put on the agenda discuss and set a possible action on the energy meeting with the Board of Selectmen, Board of Ed, Board of Finance, and the Building Committee. I put this here as a discussion. Steve, you and I both attended the last Building Committee meeting and had a discussion on, matter of fact, that property owner from property behind the school that was in attendance.
Yep.
And we have representatives from CTEC, the Barrett Farm proposal, that were there in the audience that day. And what I got out of the Building Committee was looking for the engineer, which is a huge cost for everything that we're doing. Just to touch on that, and we'll move on to this. The proposal, as you know, when we were there at that meeting, we asked for the breakdown to justify because the variances of the bids, and what we got back was very vague in the beginning.
It didn't
justify it. Marianne did work and tried, and I know you got a copy of it today.
Yeah.
And there's still some questions in that, based on that. And based on that, after talking with John, who's the chair of the committee, John Rice, they were not prepared to bring that forward to the Board of the Board of Selectmen at this time. So they're not here tonight because of the stuff that's in it. There's a lot of unanswered questions, and they really need to explain how they justify that.
Okay. That's what you'd like to do, and I don't object to getting having them here to talk to.
Yeah, and they should.
I talked to him John Rice last night.
Okay.
And he told me he wasn't going to be here at this article society meeting tonight. And that Mary Ann was going to prepare a spreadsheet.
And that's the one that she read her.
Yep. And that, I think, was in his mind, and I'm again reading into what he said. That this was going to explain. Would be to justify it, but yeah, it'd be better if somebody.
Yeah, my conversation with John, because he's always in the office, and we did talk, and John said some of the notations that were on there that Marianne put on there were not very clear or represented some of the numbers.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
So he wants to be here already.
So I said, we really need to, this is a huge amount of money for this, and as we know with what's going on with the budget, I don't know where this is going to come from. Okay, and we're on the same page with that. This is very unusual that we're in this type of situation. So for us to be comfortable to bring it to the Board of Finance in order to request that kind of money, we got to have everything, our ducks in a row on this and understand it and be able to. But taking that aside, and listening to the Building Committee and their concerns and their lack of expertise in the solar field, I gave a lot more of this thought, and looking at the budget, looking at the state, looking at what the reimbursement can be from the state, I have some concerns with money. If we do anything with solar from a town-owned type system, we're looking at distant future. It's not going to happen today or tomorrow. It's going to be a couple of years or whatever, which then requires bonding. And if there's some form of financing in town approval to do a project of this nature, okay, just like when we put the addition on the school. I know that they've been talking about the reimbursement from the state for school projects. And I'm not so sure that money is available.
Because money for
projects.
Subsidy from the state?
From the state for projects.
Fair concern.
It, because of the budget and where we're at, and I'm throwing this all out, and I think we really need to have a discussion. I can see the oil tanks, I can see the roof, because those are driving forces that keep a school going, that would be funded. I think in a great economy, that with the money and bonding, that there's a very strong possibility that that type of a project could be funded through the state without a problem, and have that added on to enhance and so forth. But I'm not so sure now with what's going on with the state and the continued cutting of ECS and some of that type of funding, because it all seems to be driven towards the education side because of the cost factor. Just out of coincidence, I had a conversation with the new superintendent today, and she was involved with, matter of fact, they were in the process of building two new schools up there. They tore down two. And I asked, you know, how their programs were and so forth, and we were talking about a variety of things. And she said that the state had frozen any school, any state aid for the schools for several years. They were on the wrong because of the state of the budgets and everything that they were in. That any renovations or whatever they were doing had to be funded through the, you know, the school district. And they just reopened that with the current governor to start giving them aid because they had neglected and put the onus so much on the school districts. So, and it was coincidence because I talked with her from 11 to 1 today, and I had set this up on Monday, you know, the agenda. And I had been thinking about this stuff. One way or the other, my opinion, we have some proposals are out there that are third-party purchasing of power that we should explore, especially with the state budget. I don't know which one is right. It's called negotiation, and we would lock in our fees. One may be better than the other, but we should engage what we have in front of us and either do something or don't, and then...
You're talking specifically about solar?
Yes.
You refer to the project on the...
I'm talking...
Up on the hill.
I'm talking either the digester,
yeah,
the third party on CTEC, and or the one directly behind the school. That these projects are there. The school, the town and the school have budget restraints, and that we need to move forward and at least from a group go in and analyze it for what it's worth.
Well, unless they, all those choices are almost certainly better than what we're doing now.
Correct.
And however, I wouldn't totally discount the fact that we might get support to do our own project as well. Not necessarily that that may not be the best choice, though, even if it is available. But I wouldn't say let's not even try, because it very well may be available. We don't really know yet. And I appreciate the state's in chaos. And we don't know what's going to happen, and it doesn't look good for funding of anything. But if the subsidy, for lack of a better term, is available, I would hate not to consider it just because we're worried about it not being there. So I wouldn't. I agree with you. It's a serious concern, but I wouldn't write it off at this quite yet.
I'm not writing it off. Okay. I'm just raising what I'm seeing based on everything. We have, like I said, if we're going to do the subsidy and go and put the project up ourselves, it's a long-term project.
Yeah.
Okay, this is something that we can work towards future and keep moving forward. We're talking alternative energy right now, that there's three proposals that are in front of us.
But those are all long-term commitments on our part.
Yeah, that is correct. They are long-term commitments.
Yeah.
And I'm not disagreeing with that. But right now, with where we are in the budget, what the budget looks like for the future, we definitely have some, we will be locking in savings for 10, 15 years or whatever,
right,
without a doubt. And I think between the Board of Selectmen, the Board of Finance, the Board of Ed, and the Building Committee, that we could probably come to some conclusion as to engage and enter into a contract with one of these, or that it is not worthwhile, and that we look long-term and do something on our own. I mean,
I think you are only mean the school might, whereas
and go through subsidies and so on.
What we're talking about is to put a solar array on their roof.
Correct, or on their property. And that may be the ultimate way to go.
But all of these require a long-term commitment by the town, and we have to go through the steps to get the approval from our town to do a 15-year commitment, because those, the costs involved in that are large. Even if on an annual basis they're not large, and even if on an annual basis they're definitely saving compared to what we're doing now, they still all require some of the steps we're describing, whether it's the do-it-ourself option, if you want to call it the school doing it, or using a third party to essentially build the infrastructure, and then we have to commit to buy from them for the next 15 or 20 years, whatever the number, whatever the deal is. That's just as much a commitment as putting our own array on the school. And I'm not, again, I'm not one or the other, but I wouldn't rule out any of those options. So I hear you, and I don't really know if it's true, but I wouldn't rule out.
I'm not ruling out anything.
Oh, okay. I'm not ruling out anything.
I think at this point, because of the stalemate that we're at, and not knowing if we can even get the financing to hire the engineer, for one, you know, because we have to put our priorities as to what is more critical for the school.
Sure.
There's a lot of things that we need to look at. And these proposals that are in front of us for the third-party purchasing of the power are now. These are things that need to be looked at.
Sure.
Not a year from now. These are shovel ready to do now. We need to look at it, have a consensus as to which one is the better way to go. And if everybody bases on that information decides they don't like it, then we know, okay, and those developers are off the table, and then we can focus our energies on
it. I guess I'm not just saying, if you're saying, would you keep all options open? And I'm very frustrated. I mean, I attended a school board meeting, which now is virtually 2 years ago.
We were talking about
the proposal that they were looking at and couldn't decide on was a $5,000 a month savings. 2 years ago, we didn't do it. And the reason why we didn't, and probably shouldn't, but that's a lot of opportunity cost for us. We could pay electric bills that maybe we could have minimized to that extent. So I share your frustration. And I do want to move forward, and I guess we're not in disagreement here.
Yeah.
I just don't want to rule out anything.
I'm not ruling out anything. That's why I suggested having a meeting with the Board of Finance, because they're knee deep into giving us our budgets.
Sure.
Ultimately, it's the town side, because it's town property, and you know, we have to call a town meeting, so forth.
Sure.
As a Board of Selectmen, we have a vested interest. The building committee, we have them there to bounce things off of.
Sure.
And like I said, they're working, they're doing their best, but they have the lack of expertise, and they've expressed that to us that they have their concerns. And then we have the biggest user, which is the Board of Ed. And if you look at where everything is going with the budgets, it's all targeted at them, you know, with the state and everything else for cost savings. So if we can get all four boards have a meeting like we attempted to do with the buses, that maybe some good can come out of this and we can go in a direction.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we're disagreeing.
Yeah. And that's my whole thing on this. Is that, and then if none of this works and it's behind us, nobody has to hear about it anymore, and the developers know what the status is, and we're done with it, and then we can go on. And I think it's probably because it's a big undertaking just for the building.
And at the end of the day, you're kind of bringing an interesting question. If our building committee isn't bringing much to the table in terms of expertise and so forth, and they're just in turn hiring consultants at substantial hours, $150,000 or $160,000, $110,000 to $160,000 is originally looking at in their range. I'm not sure if our building committee is just being a pass-through of information from the consultant. Maybe they're not doing what I was kind of hoping that they would minimize those kinds of costs. And it sounds like we're adding a lot of costs. So.
You know,
and if they need expertise, they need expertise. Yeah.
But that could come out of the meeting with the four groups that are involved with this thing. And that way we can engage everybody, have a good conversation, and see where it goes. Hopefully some good will come of it in one direction or the other. So as
the meeting will help us focus,
and I do,
because I think the energy one is a clear savings opportunity for us. We're spending money we don't need to spend right now. We've been doing it for month after month after month, even though we know there are opportunities out there.
And as you heard last night, we have not engaged into a contract for power consumption because we have this on the table. And our contracts are, you know, usually 1-3 years.
Yeah, multi-year
in order to get any kind of security. So that's what I would like to do. And, you know, we're here. Like I said, I talked to John. I talked to Aaron. And everybody is with, I have not had a chance to talk to Bill, but I talked to Linda tonight briefly about, you know, getting a conclusion to this. I talked to Joe Lindley. Even Joe Martino from Historical, you know, because he's an engineer, and even he had no opinion, but his impression was engage, have a discussion, and then be able to move forward in one direction.
I don't mind going to a meeting to help us focus on that. That in itself is not a problem.
Yeah, and I'd like to call that, and with that consensus, I will reach out, and you can set this up, and we'll get this done in pretty short
future. I was a little surprised, because we both attended the building committee meeting, that solar alternate energy is really a better way to phrase it, I guess, was like kind of low on the priority list.
Yes. Well, they're looking
at. I know they have other projects.
The oil tanks are a criteria because they have to be out of the ground very shortly.
Right.
And they know that doing the roofs is within the next 2 years, it's going to take quite a bit of, you know, designing and so forth. So, and that is pretty much a known reimbursement and so forth, and the solar is for alternate energy, whether it's wind, whatever, is not as high on their priority list as some of the things that they're looking at in place. So.
Well, I think, which again, I understand those somewhat pressing, but the solar thing is bothering me every, again, after around 2 years. And I'm not saying you haven't talked about it,
and
it's frustrating when you can't make some progress.
You know, right, wrong, or indifferent, we can bring this to a conclusion one way or the other. So, all right, I will reach out to Bill and have that conversation. And I have mentioned that to the new superintendent as well. This is one of the issues with, you know, that, you know, the town is facing, communication and so forth, but, you know, as well as the oil tanks and the roofs that need to be done. Okay, very good. Housing Authority. You guys can see that's there.
Yeah,
okay. Copy of the statutes that pertain to the housing, just for your reference. I know that you've inquired about it. The chair has inquired about it as well. We finally, as of a couple of weeks ago, actually got the resignation of Miss Mary Poole. Suzanne had gotten it from her by text or whatever, but it never came to our level.
Okay, right. I was aware of it either.
Yeah, and every time the inquiry did come in, we did ask. We haven't received anything because it goes through the town clerk's office and so forth. So with that, Suzanne, the chair, did bring that. And it was dated January. Why it never got to us, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, and we always act on those when we do that.
Sure, okay. Because I was asking about it in the past, I was told there were no vacancies. So.
Yeah, and that was, because we'd asked the top, did you receive anything every year that somebody's going to? No, we have not received anything.
Okay.
And it always goes through there. And depending on the nature of it, as you know, depending on the party affiliation that the person resigns, you turn it over to that town committee in order to find a replacement of the next number of days. So, with that, as you know, the application that we did have was for Amy Sainage to fill the vacancy, which turns out to be Mary Poulin, to do that. I don't know what happened. I do not have the...
Okay.
It doesn't mean we can't approve it tonight. What I did do is her term was set to expire 10/31/18, based on the list. So we would appoint Amy St. Ange to fill the vacancy of Mary Coolin, term expiring 10/31/8. So we would appoint her to that.
And is that a motion? I'll second that. Is that a motion?
Either way, there's only two of us tonight.
Okay. That's your motion. I'll second.
Okay. My understanding, she, from conversation, she has been attending the meetings down there. She has shown an interest, and she should be a good addition.
I thought she was a couple of meetings, and she was at the
Yeah. So with that, and I have no issue with that.
That's right. No issue with that.
Yeah, very possible. So, with that, I have no problem. So, if you have a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
We can. They do have a meeting on Thursday. I will have Marie contact her tomorrow, and we can sign off if she can.
Sure.
She can be sworn in as well.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. With that, do you have anything for other business, Steve? Because I don't.
No. And there's no heat here.
But it's dry here. We will go back to citizens' comments. If anybody wishes to have any further comments, go ahead, Rob.
I actually have a question. I'm Rob Mann, 15 Meadow Drive. The heat building solar that you're considering, will that solar credit go back to the heat organization or would it go to the town?
The credit is got to, the way it's going to be set up is it's being installed for free.
Yep.
The credits that the builder is getting and the energy credits is what's going to pay for the system. They will set a rate for reduced, it'll reduce it. According to him, half their electric bill, which is about $8,800 a year, it's going to cut it in half at the end.
That would be something to help T.
To help T. Okay. Strictly help T.
Yeah.
Yep, and that's what it is. At the end of 15 years, the town owns it. Then the town, the T gets full benefit of that completely right from there.
No limit.
Or whatever, minimal, it will be.
Yeah. Only what the personal plan.
Yeah. So. We just have to make sure that whatever approvals to put this in place. So that is it. Anybody else on citizen comments? Okay, hearing none. Tax refunds. I'll make a motion to refund Toyota Lease Trust, $38.10. Alley Financial, $326.04, and Alley Financial, $162.17.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Move adjourned. Seconded.
Aye.
Aye.